is, Father God, we thank you just for this evening, God. But we want to give you glory tonight, Father God. We want to lift you up in this place, Father God, and declare you as our King, Father God, and as our Savior, as our Redeemer, Father. God, thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight, Father God. Thank you for your presence that's rest here, Father God. Pray that you lead this evening, Father God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Good evening, church. I don't know if there's anybody that maybe in worship felt that they wanted to share something. Maybe you saw a vision, or maybe you felt something, God prompted something in your heart. I don't know, in intercession, if you guys, something specific came out. Sonia, will you say? Nee. Good evening, everybody. My name is Ter de Villiers. And I'm married to my beautiful wife, Mika. And we've got a little daughter called Anya May that is over 4 months old now. And the apple of my eye. And yeah, it's a real privilege to be here with you guys tonight. First of all, I want you guys, actually, you're going to be mad at me now, but I want you to stand up and I want you actually to move closer here. It feels like I'm speaking way at the back there. So stand up, greet somebody that you don't know, say, hi, how's it? This is my name. And then as you do that, you sort of get up and you move a bit closer so that I can actually feel that I'm speaking to you right here in front of me and that you're not far away. Don't greet somebody you know, greet somebody you don't know. I say, man. Esther Key. That's it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, man. So, as I said, my name is Ter, and I've known the Lord for just over 8 years now. Known him my whole life, but I've had a living relationship with him the past 8 years. I was baptized in 2004, and since then it's been an amazing ride, an amazing journey. And I really want to encourage you guys to keep on in this race that we're running for Christ. It's worth it. It's worth running, and it's worth laboring for. And I just want to thank you guys for actually listening to me tonight. It's going to be long. No, I lie. It's not going to be long. It's going to be short and powerful. I hope. I'm trusting. I hope all of you had a good weekend. We had an amazing weekend. We had our vision camp at Rivers of Joy. And it was great. And we really enjoyed it. We set out a lot of time to worship and to spend with God and just really ask him where he wants to lead us as a church, because I think we always come with a lot of ideas and plans, and especially if you've got an engineer leading the church, he's always got a lot of plans and things that you want to do. I think it's so important to just get quiet and to sit down and to wait upon the Lord and ask him, listen, this is what we want to do. Is this part of your plan for this church? And it was amazing how God just pitched up this weekend. I knew he would, but it was amazing just to spend time with him and to allow him just to really just mend our hearts together and establish unity in the church. And I want to thank just everybody that was there, actually. And I want to encourage you guys that next year when we have a vision camp to really join up. I know our programs are full and I know everybody's busy and stuff, but it's amazing to see just how the Lord establishes unity in a weekend like this. And I really want to encourage you guys. Something that also happened to me over this past week was a good friend of mine. Can I get a bit of water? Can somebody get me a bit of water, maybe? My rins. Yeah, your water. I will not sit. As I so baie praat, dan klap my tongue, and then later dan ek praat soet toe. What happened to me this past week as well is a good mate of mine phoned me up and he said, listen, Ter, I've got this great idea. We need to go to the Olympics in 2012. We're going to educate this country of ours just about the sport. And I was so excited about this. I loved it. I thought, man, this is it. I'm going to spend 3 weeks in London, and I'm going to give something back to the sport, because both of us were at Beijing in 2008, and we love our country and we love our sport, but as you know, most of our sports are a bit in not a good condition, and we would like to sort of get it to a place where it's more professional. And I was so excited about this, and went to bed the evening, got up the next morning, still full of ideas of how we're going to just get this thing going. And I was driving to Lady Brand for the day for work, and I just started praying about this thing. I asked God, listen, yes, sir, we want to do this thing. Is this part of your plan? I just felt that, you know what, it's actually not part of His plan. Although I'm very excited about it, and although my mate's very excited about it, and if there's anybody in the world that I'd tackle something like this, it would be him. But I had to text him and say, listen, Bill, I'm not so sure that this is something we need to do now. Because God placed him for a specific reason now here in Bloemfontein. And now the two of us are sort of moving away from that thing that God's placed him there with. And we're sort of going into our own direction. And we would have gone with this thing, and 10 km down the road, we would have looked back and said, yes, sir, but this is such a struggle, and it's exciting now, but we're laboring into this thing. There's nothing coming from it, maybe. And we'd look back, and God would be standing 10 km back and say, listen, guys, I'm just waiting for you. This guy's supposed to be here now. He needs to do this thing that I've called him for. And it was so amazing when I texted him. He texted back immediately, and he also actually said that, no, he actually feels the same way. And that's just the unity, and that's the thing that God does, and He really establishes that. And that's what happened this weekend as well. And that's what we as a church, individually as well, also should do, is to get quiet and to ask God when we do stuff, bring it before Him, ask Him, listen, God, is this what we need to do? Because we get so excited and enthusiastic about things, and we run this race, and then stuff doesn't work out, and we get tired, and we get burned out, and we think, but yes, sir, where is God in this whole thing? And then we look back, and God's standing there waiting for you, say, listen, I've called you to do this, not that. So I really want to encourage you guys. And stuff like Vision Camp, that comes up. Join up, come and see what God does. And you'll see where I'll bring this back in later. It's not just some uninteresting little thing that I told you. No, I'll bring it back later. Before I start, I just want us to pray, actually. Father God, I thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for the privilege to be in your house, Father. I thank you, God, that, Father, you can use insignificant person like myself, Father, to speak to your house tonight, Father God. And I trust, Father, that, God, that you will speak through me, God. I pray that these people won't see me or they won't hear my words, God, but they'll see your heart tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, Father God. Thank you that you will lead every word that comes out of my mouth, Father God, that you will place it in my mouth, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I said to Alistair, actually, I want to talk to us about communion tonight. Nagmaal. Gewone ou dingetjie wat ons elke nou en dan doen. For two reasons. I think one, I think there's a lot of people in church today, not just our church, I think globally, that they've heard about communion or they see it being handed out, but nobody's got actually knowledge of where this thing comes from. And how it actually originated, and why it was introduced, and why we're still doing it today. And I thought it's just important that we actually talk about it, and we do a quick look back and where it came from, and how it was introduced. And then secondly, I think a lot of us do communion, we take communion, but we don't really realize what we're busy with. We don't realize how sacred this is to God. And we undermine it and we just tick it off. And us as the elders are maybe, the most guilty, because we sort of would say, listen, okay, we haven't done communion for a month or for 2 months. And we'll say, listen, okay, let's just put a communion in again. But I think we do communion just because for the sake of doing communion. And I just realized in studying and going through this thing that it's actually not just something to do. It's actually something very sacred to God. And I want us just to quickly look at a few things and then just answer those two questions. Of not just answer the questions, but actually just so that everybody knows where this comes from. And then secondly, why are we still doing it? So I want us to turn to Exodus 12. If you don't have a Bible, then you can look on the screen there. From verse 1, it says there, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." That's 4 days after you actually took it out. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its leg and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood I will pass over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Everybody know this part. It's when Moses was sent to Egypt to actually get free, to free the Israelites out of Egypt, out of their bondage there, and God sent all the 10 plagues, 9 of them, and this was the last plague, where he actually moved over the whole of Egypt, killing the firstborn. And I read this thing, and I thought, it's so specific. I don't know if you realize it, but there's such specifics in this thing. And I want us just to quickly look at that specifics. And this is all just to recap, where is Passover and communion actually coming from? Because I believe that if we understand where it's coming from, then we'll also not just look down on it and sort of deem it not that important. So let's just look at a few things. He's a cell phone with BB, so. When you look at this, you can actually divide it into three things, three parts, or I did. The first part is the lamb, the sprinkling of the blood, and the solemn eating. That was the three parts that stood out for me. Underneath that, you can actually go to the part where it says the lamb. It's just the first part. I will read like this. You'll see there that it says it must be set apart for 4 days. Now, all this actually denotes is the marking out of Jesus to be the Savior, our Savior, both in purpose and in promise. All right? So they had to take the lamb, they had to sort of take it out for 4 days and stand it there on its own, just like Jesus had to be, he had to be singled out, if I can put it that way. The next thing, he had to be slain and roasted. It's pretty graphic. All right? And why is that? It denotes the painful suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? He had to be roasted in fire, that fire being the wrath of God. All right? There was to be no broken bone, which denote actually the unbroken strength of Jesus Christ. All right? How cool is that? You can read about that more in John 19:33 if you want to. I'm really going to go through this thing fast. All right? I'm not going to take a lot of time because I really wanted to take time at the end to use communion. So bear with me if I go very fast. The sprinkling of the blood, it had to be sprinkled, which speaks of applying the merits of Christ's death to our soul, all right? It had to be sprinkled. And we must receive that atonement. As the blood was applied to the doorpost, so we must apply the merits of Christ's death to ourselves. Meaning you must make it your own, all right? You must apply it. You must take that and make it yours. It's an act. It won't fall into your lap. Nobody will post it to you. You actually have to receive it. You have to take it. And how do we take it? We take it by faith. And that is what that bush of hyssop actually represents. It represents the faith part of how we actually take and apply these promises. The doorpost, why was it sprinkled on the doorpost? that actually speaks of our outward focus and our profession of we are Christians. It's something that if you walk into a house, the doorpost is the first thing you see. Our walk as Christians and our life as Christians is not something to be stowed away underneath a carpet. It's something that if somebody meets you, that's actually the first thing they need to see. They need to see, listen, this guy's actually a Christian. And that's what sprinkling on the doorpost actually meant to them. It wasn't sprinkled on the threshold, the part we actually walk into. And that actually just showed that it's not the blood of Jesus Christ is not something to be trampled on. It's not something to be looked down upon. It's something that is actually very sacred to God. Something that's actually what's the word that I'm looking for here? What's the word? Help me, man. Huh? Very precious. Precious is the word. Anything that's precious to you, won't let throw down on the floor and step on it. So that's why I was actually sprinkled on the doorposts. Okay. The eating of the lamb was typical to our duty as Christ. The lamb was not to be looked upon. They didn't just roast the thing and then let it lay there. They actually had to eat it. And same, we as Christians, we need to eat and feed on Christ as our Savior. All right? It's not something we just look at and we see, yes, sir, that's nice, God, Jesus, thank you for doing that. But I'm not going to actually take it and make it my own and feed upon it. I think it's in John 6:53. You can go read a bit more about that if you want to cross-reference it. Everything had to be eaten. All of it had to be eaten. All right? All of it had to be eaten. We must take Christ and His yoke, Christ and His cross, and Christ and His crown. Everything. Not just part of it. All right? We as Christians, we can't just take the good and not take the yoke. We can't just take the crown and not take the cross. We need to take the whole Christian walk. All right? I'll say right a lot, huh? I mustn't say right a lot. Okay. It had to be eaten at once, not put by till morning. If the Holy Spirit, if you sit in church and the Holy Spirit prompts something in your heart, act on it now. Don't wait until the morning. If you sit here and at the end of the night and we ask if you actually want to meet your Savior, if you want to accept God as your Savior, and you feel you want to do that, actually stand up and act on it. Don't wait till the next morning, because the next morning there won't be a chance anymore. And the devil by that time would have motivated you not to do it anyway. So act on it now. If you sit here tonight and the Holy Spirit prompts something in your heart that you need to lay in front of God, act on it tonight. Don't wait for sell or say, no, I'll do it next weekend or whatever. Do it now. That's why it also says here it had to be eaten at once, everything. It had to be eaten with bitter herbs in remembrance of the bitterness of their bondage in Egypt. And we as Christians, we must feed upon Christ with sorrow and brokenness of heart. In remembrance of sin, Christ will be sweet to us if sin is bitter. Amen. Fourth, this was quite nice to me. It was to be eaten standing with their staffs in their hands as being ready to depart. And when we feed upon Christ by faith, we must forsake the rule and the dominion of sin and we must set loose of this world. It means we are living in this world, but we are not from this world. And we are not conformed by this world. And we must be on the move. We must be ready. If God tells you to act, move now. Don't sit and if you get in a comfort place in this world will engulf you and it will make you its own and it will swallow you up. I promise you that. But you are not conformed by this world if you call yourself a Christian. So yeah, that was just quickly looking at that part in Exodus. Now obviously we know what happened after that is that the Israelites had to flee there, had to quickly run out of there, had to go through the Red Sea. And they were on their way to the promised land. And then after that action, they actually introduced Passover. And that was to celebrate and to remember what God did for them that day in Egypt. All right? There I go again. All right. where am I? And it was during Passover, the next scripture that we're going to go to, it was during Passover, on the day of unleavened bread, that Jesus actually asked Peter and John to go to the guy's house and actually prepare the Passover meal. And it was just interesting for me, why the name unleavened, the day of unleavened bread? What was that for? But actually, I don't know if you know it, but actually, it got its name from the thing that the day they had to actually flee Egypt, there was no time. They had to bake bread, the little patkosis there. There's no time for that. They didn't make bread with ham and kaas and lekker goedjes like my wife could make. They just had to quickly make bread, but there was no time for them actually to wait for the bread to rise. So they baked it without yeast because they were in such a hurry. So they just quickly baked it and they ran off with this bread. And that's why it was called the Day of Unleavened Bread. Maybe only interesting to me, but I quite enjoy that. Maybe because I love bread. Okay, so if we can go to the next scripture, we will see that at this page we're now at that place where Jesus actually meets up with his 12 disciples and they're busy having this communion. And he says there to him, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Just check that. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. In the King James Version, it says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. That is like the Uber of desiring to be with somebody. Okay? I have desired to eat this Passover with you. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And there we know wine and bread as we know it today, as communion. Because Jesus, our true Passover, was given to us. And it was so amazing to me, even in Exodus, through that whole thing, God was already pointing to his Son, Jesus Christ, that will be our Savior. They didn't know it. That's how, when was Exodus written? It's like 200 before BC or when? 2000 before BC. I mean, that's like, just imagine this. If in the 18th century somebody said in 2012, South Africa will keep the World Cup soccer. I mean, it is, at that way back then, God was already establishing what he would have been doing through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's just amazing. Everything he just orchestrated and everything was just pointing towards Jesus Christ. And here they sit in the table and the true Lamb, our true Passover, comes and he's given to us, Jesus Christ. And I think if we look at this, for me what it did is it just placed everything in perspective. It placed the bread in perspective, telling us what is the body of Christ, and it placed the wine in perspective of that the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's just the history part. The second part is just, we sit here today and we still do communion, but why is it actually important? Why is it important for us as a congregation, as a family, to still keep communion, to still take part in communion? And it's actually very simple. It's nothing deep theologically or whatical. It's said here in 1 Corinthians 11, where it says that you have that, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, in which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's the only reason why we still take communion, is we need to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And I'm not sure if you know, but actually in Germany, in the schools, in their curriculum, all the kids are actually educated very thoroughly on the Holocaust and on the Second World War and on what exactly happened there for one reason. And they're scared that history will repeat itself, that part of history will repeat itself. Because they say if you don't remind and educate every generation of what happened, people will forget. They'll forget about the Holocaust and what Hitler did and everything. And there's a part in that that's the same to us. If we do not daily maybe, if we do not once a month get quiet and sit down and refocus ourselves and remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, we will get swallowed in by this world and we will forget about the cross. And I think it has already happened. If you look around you, people are already starting to forget what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. The world long gone forgot about that. Nothing proclaims of that. Nothing in this world that we do and we keep ourselves busy with show us anything or points to anything of Jesus Christ and the cross. And we do this because once we busy with communion, we are reminded of where our salvation lies. We are reminded of where our atonement lies. We're reminded of where we can get peace in this world we live in today. We refocus and we are reminded of on what we should focus actually on and what we should keep ourselves busy with. Reminded of how insignificant we are as human beings and how dependent we are on Jesus Christ. And that's why we have communion. That's why we do it. But if we just tick it off and we don't take time and get quiet and sit and let Jesus Christ and what He has done for us soak down into our hearts, we will forget it. And that's why Jesus says there, you do it because you need to remember me and what I did for you on the cross. Secondly, it's now easy to say, okay, good, now we know why we actually do it. We need to remember Jesus Christ. But now, how do we do it? When we're going to have communion tonight, what should you actually do? And it's also very easy. It also is in 1 Corinthians 11. It says there, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's that easy. You sit here and you actually reflect on what's going on in your heart. You ask yourself the question, is Jesus Christ and the blood that flowed on the cross, is that enough for me? Why do I serve Jesus Christ? Do I serve Him because there's something I might get from Him? Or do I serve Him because of what He did on the cross for me? Ask yourself that question. Delve deep, deep inside and be honest with yourself. Check your heart. Ask yourself questions. Ask yourself if you truly believe that it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that atones for our sins and our shortcomings. Are you putting enough emphasis on the blood of Jesus Christ? Will you still serve God if there is no prosperity? If we take away all that, if we take away that hope that you've got in, you know, I'm serving God because maybe, you know, He'll give me that job, or, you know, I'm serving God because maybe that person, that family friend will make it. But will you still serve God if you don't get that job? Will you still serve God if that family member maybe does not make it? Because I want to tell you tonight, if you're serving God because of those reasons, you're finding your salvation in that. You're not finding your salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ, which is enough. It should be enough for us. But we as human beings, we've warped it and we've sugarcoated it and we've put in a lot of false hope. And we need to ask ourselves, is Jesus Christ on His own enough for me serving Him? That's all. I just want to read you this little part. It says, We have communion because for as long as we take of the bread and drink of the wine, we proclaim Jesus Christ as our Savior. We declare His death to be our life, the spring of all our comforts and hope, and we glory in such a declaration. We show forth His death and plead it as our accepted sacrifice and ransom. I want the band to come up now, and as we take communion tonight, I want us as a house to take communion, not just for the sake of taking communion. I don't want it something just to be something we do. I don't want it something to be that the tray comes by and you just take a little piece of bread or a bit of wine because it is now there, and what's the person next to me going to say if I don't take it? I don't want you to take it just because you've only had communion a year back. I want us to realize that this is a sacred thing that we do as Christians. It's extremely important to Jesus Christ and to God, our Savior, what we do here tonight. And we're going to do it a bit different tonight. I don't want the ushers at any way to send it around and to bring it to you. Because I believe that's one of the reasons why we've sort of just come so relaxed about it. We're so consumer-minded. Everything needs to come to us and we just use it. So we're going to worship now, and they're going to carry on worshiping, and there's going to be something on the projector. And I want you to spend time with God. If it needs to be an hour, take an hour. We'll be here. But I want you to get quiet. I want to think. I want you to think back to what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and for all of us. Not just a group of people. Each and every person that's sitting here tonight can have of that blood and of that bread, that body of Christ. But take time. Ask yourself, why am I serving God? Ask yourself if God is enough for you. If you take away this building, if you take away the band, will you guys still come to church? We're sitting here underneath the tree. If we're only four people in the church, will you still come here? Are you coming here for the people? Are you coming here for the band? Or are you coming here for Alistair? We need to realize that Jesus Christ is enough for us. So as we worship, and you think back and you remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, and you've asked yourself these questions, in your own time, I want you to get up as a declaration of your faith and your walk with Christ. I want you to come and use communion on your own time. Come and do it here in the front. Not because anybody's going to point a finger at you. Not because I want to make a mockery out of you. Not at all. I want you to make a declaration tonight. I want us to have communion for what God has called us to have communion. So as we worship, take time. Think. Pray. Ask God. Come and lay down before God what you maybe have placed above Him. Come and exchange your bondage and those things that's holding you back. Come and exchange that for freedom in the body of Christ. Come and exchange your self-esteem for humility here tonight. Come and exchange your self-confidence for lowliness. Come and exchange your self-direction for God's direction here tonight. Those things that's holding you back. Those things that's holding you bondage. Come and exchange that here. Come and declare your dependency upon God here tonight. There's no specific thing. God is going to speak to you personally in your time. And whatever He prompts in your heart, act on it tonight, please. Just as I prayed in that car and asked God, listen, are we busy with the right thing here? Sit in that chair and ask God, are you busy with the right things? God, am I still on par with you? And if you're not, come and exchange that for God's direction. If you've got to make a big decision, ask God to guide you. Come and lay down your own life. Come and declare that life is not about us, but it is about Jesus Christ. We've made this world and this life about us. Everything is about you and me. But we need to realize as a church people that it's not about us, that it is about Jesus Christ.